He'll get married and leave. So for the girls, imagining what is going to happen 3 years from now involves only one of two possibilities. They'll either be looking for a mate while they go on working here, or they will have left to get married. Talk about simplicity! There just isn't anybody around here like me who is thinking to herself, I don't know what's going to happen to me 3 years from now. They are all good workers. Nobody does a botched job or complains about the work. Now and then, I'll hear somebody griping about the cafeteria food, that's all. Of course, this is work we're talking about, so it can't be fun all the time. You might have somebody putting in her hours from 9 to 5 because she has to, even though she really wants to run off for the day. But for the most part, I think they're enjoying the work. It must be because they know this is a finite period suspended between one world and another. That's why they want to have as much fun as possible while they're here. Ultimately, this is just a transition point for them. Not for me, though. This is no time of suspension or transition for me. I have no idea at all where I'm going from here. For me, this could be the end of the line. Do you see what I mean? So strictly speaking, I am not enjoying the work here. All I'm doing is trying to accept the work in every possible way. When I'm making a wig, I don't think about anything but making that wig. I'm deadly serious, enough so that I break out in a sweat all over. I don't quite know how to put this, but lately I've been thinking about the boy who got killed in the motorcycle accident. To tell you the truth, I haven't thought too much about him before. Maybe the shock of the accident twisted my memory or something in a weird way, because all I remembered about him were these weird kinds of things, like his smelly armpits or what a totally dumb guy he was, or his fingers trying to get into strange places of mine. Every once in a while, though, something not so bad about him comes back to me, especially when my mind is empty and I'm just planting hairs in a wig base. These things come back to me out of nowhere. Oh, yeah, I'll think he was like that. I guess time doesn't flow in order, does it? A, B, C, D. It just sort of goes where it feels like going. Can I be honest with you, Mr. Wind-Up Bird? I mean, really, really, really honest? Sometimes I get so scared. I'll wake up in the middle of the night all alone, hundreds of miles away from anybody, and it's pitch dark, and I have no idea what's going to happen to me in the future, and I get so scared I want to scream. Does that happen to you, Mr. Wind-Up Bird? When it happens, I try to remind myself that I am connected to others, other things, and other people. I work as hard as I can to list their names in my head. On the list, of course, is you, Mr. Wind-Up Bird, and the alley, and the well, and the persimmon tree, and that kind of thing, and the wigs that I've made here with my own hands, and the little bits and pieces I remember about the boy, all these little things, though you're not just another one of those little things, Mr. Wind-Up Bird, but anyhow, help me to come back here little by little. Then I start to feel sorry I never let my boyfriend see me naked or touch me. Back then, I was determined not to let him put his hands on me. Sometimes, Mr. Wind-Up Bird, I think I'd like to stay a virgin the rest of my life. Seriously, what do you think about that? Bye-bye, Mr. Wind-Up Bird. I hope Kumiko comes back soon.
16. The World's Exhaustion and Burdens. The Magic Lamp. The phone rang at 9:30 at night. It rang once, then stopped, and started ringing again. This was to be Ushikawa's signal.
"Hello, Mr. Okada," said Ushikawa's voice. "Ushikawa here. I'm in your neighborhood and thought I might drop by, if it's all right with you. I know it's late, but there's something I wanted to talk to you about in person. What do you say? It has to do with Miss Kumiko, so I thought you might be interested."
I pictured Ushikawa's expression at the other end of the line as I listened to him speaking. He had a self-satisfied smile on his face, lips curled and filthy teeth exposed, as if to say, "I know this is an offer you can't refuse." And, unfortunately, he was right. It took him exactly 10 minutes to reach my house. He wore the same clothes he'd had on 3 days earlier. I could have been mistaken about that, but he wore the same kind of suit and shirt and tie, all grimy and wrinkled and baggy. These disgraceful articles of clothing looked as if they had been forced to accept an unfair portion of the world's exhaustion and burdens. If, through some kind of reincarnation, it were possible to be reborn as Ushikawa's clothing, with a guarantee of rare glory in the next rebirth, I would still not want to do it. After asking my permission, Ushikawa helped himself to a beer.